and welcome to the 21st, we're all grown up now. It's the 21st edition of the Manx Footy Pod for the 23-24 season. I'm obviously your host Sam Turner. Don't worry, I have to read my notes to check my own name, but we'll go with that anyway.
Yeah.
Joining me this week, a man who only this week, Tom, only this week, saw a Bob Marley movie. Dave Norton.
I did. I don't know what else to say about that on the podcast, but yes, I did.
I'm trying to think of something you've done all week, but you've just been sort of dutifully getting on with your job. Andy's not been here.
If so only the boss has heard that, yeah.
Can you see similarities between him and Bob Marley?
A little bit, yeah.
Only after about seven absinths, yeah.
Of course, this all sings about Three Little Birds, but Dave's is very different than this is a family show.
Is it?
Well. And secondly, we have a man who this week injured himself warming up for a game he wasn't even playing in.
Yeah, that's true.
Tom Curfey.
Yeah, I'm fit as a fiddle now, though.
You fit as a fiddle?
Yeah, I can play the podcast. I'm here, aren't I? I walk down the stairs.
That's true, yeah.
Good start.
Yeah. Sadly, there's still... No, you and your bloody phones.
I know, I'm a popular man.
I told you this. That picks it up. Your gran bought us a state-of-the-art microphone.
I'm sorry.
The standards have slipped since you were last in.
Yeah, the standards have slipped. Downhill. Exactly, and it's not my fault I'm popular. Clearly get messages.
Off your gran.
Could be.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah. Anyway, sadly, there's no Andy this week again. He was last seen actually on Monday night running topless around Douglas singing "Oh Nana, What's His Name."
So, sounds about right.
Yeah, he's taken turn 20 again very well.
Yeah. Is he even an Everton fan? He's doing that.
Well, I think he's sort of hanging about waiting for this like 10-point deduction.
Ah, then he comes out of the.
Was apparently going to be Monday, and then it was going to be Tuesday. Now who knows?
Mm-hmm. Might not see him again.
No, we might not.
Mm-hmm. So, you might have to be the full time host rather than just stand in.
Hope not, because it is that Mark Chapman thing, isn't it? you want Gary Lineker back.
Yeah, if I want Gary Lineker back, yeah.
He don't really enjoys it that much, do he? But also joining us this week, returning to the podcast after, and I have to get this away, 1,533 days, Air United's Nick White.
Thanks for having me.
How you doing?
Yeah, good, good.
So it's been a bit of a while, so what have you been up to?
Oh, nothing.
Appropriately wearing orange, yeah, though, I do, yeah, like that.
Always got to represent the orange and black.
Now, we've got to, just before we go on to anything else, we have to sort of address the elephant in the room. Manx Radio have stolen our studio.
Oh, God. You're going to be having words with Rob Pritchard now.
Well, yeah, their sportscast have been here, taken our tables.
But this is the start of a media war, I think, isn't it?
This is what we're left with. We've got
I don't know why they wanted them tables. They weren't that nice.
Yeah.
I don't know how they were going to get them up the hill.
Yeah.
Some sort of chuck up with the situation with him and Paul.
To me.
But there you go. Him and Rob and Meppen, that'd be it. Carrying them up the hill. But they've taken it off us, so we are left with... I don't even know what this is. It was just sort of over there somewhere. It looks like coming out of someone's house, but it's also got... I can't kick it because it's got wheels that ruin the mic, but...
We'll have to stand soon.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Or just go to the pub.
Yeah.
I think. Just literally just go to the bar. Set up a microphone.
What, just don't do a podcast?
Set up the microphone on the
pub.
Yeah.
Rory and
that's right, you see. Mm. People know. People remember.
I wouldn't be mentioning Rory, Dave, because he's a bit annoyed at you. He's now started tweeting us about you not replying to messages.
Yeah,
can you just reply to
that's the running joke. I just quite like to see it carry on now.
Yeah, but every week it's in my notifications. Just be a gentleman and reply to him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Man is a legend, so I will.
Tom, reply. I can see you're edging towards the biscuits. Now, go on.
I am.
Tell us the joke here.
Well, Dave bought them at lunchtime today, and the joke is tangerines, orange chocolate. Do you like orange chocolate?
Yes. Cannot say no.
There you go. Did we do this last time you were on, though? I can't remember.
No, we did. No.
All right.
Oh, so you didn't get this luxury.
There you go.
So it has got better since.
There's some standards of fun.
Thank you.
Oh, oranges actually. The tangerines oranges. I thought they were sort of on the thing.
They're a variation of oranges.
I'm
not a massive orange chocolate fan either, to be fair.
Oh, God, I've had a shocker.
I don't like anything being mixed with chocolate.
But just to make Dave happy, because he's gone to the effort, I am going
to
try it.
You don't have to eat it, mate. It's fine.
No, I think I'm going to give it a go.
There's just more for me and Nick.
And how many views? How many views will we get if Tom Griffey's sick live on the podcast?
That is true.
Orange chocolate. Nothing will ever beat the white chocolate digesters, but we won't get into that now.
No, I don't think we should mention them anymore, because to be honest, at this point, McVitie's probably owed money. Although, that much free coverage.
Tom did ask just as we were about to come on air. So we've got these for tangerines. What other biscuits would suit certain clubs in the other man?
Peel could have Jammy Dodgers.
Why?
Because they're red and white.
Okay, fair enough.
Not because they're jammy or dodgering at all.
Okay.
I don't know where I was going with that.
I don't know what other clubs you could have for what. Like, Oreo is Colby, I feel like. Black and white.
Yeah. That's a good one.
opened up a can of worms.
B&D can have, like, you know, nice biscuits or nice biscuits, whatever they're called, because they're just quite nice.
Yeah, everyone likes D&D, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no, I don't feel like anyone hates D&D.
Okay. What would Michael United be?
Like the
Aces.
There's
something out there, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. What's green and white? Like mint? Oh, like what's them?
After eights.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's not biscuit though, is it?
No, but this is a good game. Still
it. Forget this. Right, Laxie, think rationally here. Also green. Mm. I'm thinking like penguins.
Mm.
I don't know why.
Why not?
What's their nickname? The Miners.
Right. What we need is people to send in their suggestions. Yeah. We'll talk about it in a future podcast. Mm.
Yeah. Let's not get sidetracked.
Well, we always do. But yeah.
Since week one when we start talking about pot noodles, it's sort of gone downhill from there, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm going to say that Tom did not like that because he's had one.
No,
bite.
Honestly, I'm not that impressed. I'm not that impressed. I just think orange chocolate, not for me. It's like when people put mint in chocolate and stuff, like we said after eight.
It's not a thing. Nuts and like cornflakes or Rice Krispies, if you're going to like, you know, a fair. Then you go to a village fair or something.
Mm.
But like, I'm recording this podcast in 1955. But if you've got like them, then yeah. But otherwise, no.
This craze about like, exactly, leave chocolate to chocolate. Exactly. Don't put fruit in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. It's like when fruit and pints now. There's like a few of my mates go to the railway and they have that orange. And what's that beer that they sell?
The Blue Moon.
Blue Moon. They've just got an orange sticking out the pint. It's a cocktail. It's not beer. It's ridiculous.
Is that what constitutes a cocktail?
I think it's ridiculous.
I said him to a lager top as a cocktail.
Yeah, it is. So. It is. I used to drink Carling and Lime when I first started drinking lager when I was going to say 18 for legal reasons. And when I was trying that, I thought it was okay. And now look at, you see a kid getting like a lager and lime and you're like, what are you doing? Just get a straight lager. Like,
yeah. In your role at Air, obviously, do you have anything?
What is his role at Air? Let's specify that.
Assistant manager. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like, I don't know, is there anything that the guys, like you tell them they shouldn't have just before a game? Like, obviously you don't want them drinking, but like any foods or anything off the table or anything like that? Or they just,
no, just let them do their thing, they know. Yeah. They know. I think a few of the boys would have 6 pints, but if they turn up, it doesn't matter as long as they're doing their thing.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
makes no odds. And to be fair, those boys can drink, so it's all right. If it's certain people you won't want, but you know the lads who do, and if they do turn up, then you know they're going to get on with it, so it's all right. But
a bit like that, Tom every week at Moran.
But it's a good point though, because no one really that asked if you're hungover or you've had a few beers the night before. If you come up going and win, you play well.
If you turn up and you're hungover and you let the team down, there's a big difference. But if you turn up and do your job, no one even knows you're hungover, so it's one of those. But you obviously don't want them going on late night if you have a couple of pints.
Exactly. And I don't feel like you need to mention it. Like a lot of clubs, especially someone like Air, who's obviously doing well in the league, I feel like the players are well versed in knowing what they can and can't do.
I don't think they'd be involved if they weren't taking it seriously, kind of thing.
So imagine they'll be on the best behaviour Friday night, because obviously big game this weekend.
We'll have to
talk about it. It's going to be massive.
We will indeed, Dave. But before we get on to that, we just want to touch on one quick issue. Now, Tom's going to love this because I'm going to sidetrack it with FCR Man Talk.
Yoo-hoo!
Not very, don't care, it's happened, whatever. They got home eventually. But Dan Hasley.
Of course.
Who's, in his own words, come off retirement off the golf course and rolling out for the Ravens.
Last seen in Colby Combi.
Yeah, which is, I didn't know that until Andy mentioned it. But yeah.
I saw a video playing Colby Combi. But previously he was at a professional club, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's been around the block. Like, I know Adam referred to the move from Colby Combi to FC Man as a big step down.
He would.
which is why Adam's yet again in hiding this week.
Yeah.
But
interesting move though, isn't it?
It is an interesting move, yeah. And he's gone straight into the squad this weekend. I think, to be fair, the one thing you can say is they are lacking in the goal department a little bit.
He'll add a presence up front, won't we? And he's obviously got the know-how at that level.
My chair's creaking there.
It is, isn't it? Would you like to move it a little bit?
It's not my fault,
mate. No, move the chair.
I think I had that chair last week, you were doing the same.
Yeah,
but I thought it was just going to fat, so there you go.
It's that, or we'll get the wooden chair over there.
Continuity is going to be great on this podcast, isn't it?
I'll leave all this.
Oh, I hope so.
Tom's going to swap the chair.
He's gone. See you, mate.
Right, we'll be back in a minute. We just do the da-da-da-da, and we'll do that right. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Shall we?
No, say Tom's got a new chair.
Tom's got a new chair.
It's not like when Adam disappeared halfway through a podcast once. No one ever mentioned it. Yeah, no one.
Just put his shirt on the chair and just carried on.
Does anyone know the reason for that?
We're not allowed to talk about it. Anyway,
Hasley.
I was saying, No, he signed for the Ravens. It's going to be fine. Right. They'll win at the weekend. We'll get to them later.
Right.
Nick, last time you were here was 2019.
Yes.
Dave's got some questions for you. Dave's going to bring some air professionalism to the show now.
Yeah, well, should we talk about the season in general a bit first, I think? Because obviously you must be happy with how it's gone. Yeah. You won the title 2 years ago, had one of those sort of transitional seasons last year, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then this year it's all come good again, hasn't it?
Yeah. That last year was a bit... It was harsh for the lads, and like Hurty himself and the ones who did say, because I think we had 4 lads that got injured, like myself included, like had operations, and then people grow up and their kids and houses, what, you know, that kind of thing. And we end up having, I think it was probably 4 lads in the team that were actually from the winning team the year before. So they kind of got thrown under the bus, but luckily we've all kind of gathered back together again, and it's proven straight away.
Yeah, well, you just have to look at your form this season. I mean, it's been nothing short of brilliant, to be fair, hasn't it? I mean, I know you had the blip against Corinthians.
Yeah.
But that's the only one so far, isn't it, this season?
Yeah, that's the only loss we've won ever for now. It's no draws or nothing.
Was that immediately after Christmas? Was that the
Yeah, that was
game?
The first one, I think, first one in January.
What do you reckon that was down to then? Like, I know it's only been brought up because you've won every other game. So that game is like, everyone looks at that and goes, what went wrong there? Because I wouldn't even say Corinthians are high-flying.
I think we could still be there now and still wouldn't score. Like, that is... And it sounds daft. And, like, there's not in a rude way to Corinthians, like, dominated for however long. But even they knew, like, the goals they scored, one was, like, unfortunate mistakes from our behalf kind of thing. And then we asked... The chances were just... It just didn't seem to click. And then we got the goal back, went 1-1, thinking, here we go, kick on. We've seen this 100 times. Mm-hmm. And then... He went back again and just wasn't in the groove, and
just one of those days.
Yeah, I don't think you want to read into it too much, because if you do, you can cause issues. But it was just one of those things. Put it behind you and leave it.
And what does like a manager like Nick Hurt and yourself now managing and coaching? What do you guys do after a loss like that? You've won all your games up until that point. Yeah. You're flying high. What do you say to the players? Just say, don't worry about it. Get back to training.
Just got to leave it. And I think it was a big wake up call. For a lot of it, like, sometimes I think they're good. I don't think we've been as dominant as we were when we did the treble. Just seem to be a little, like, probably like conceding a few, but it's like just finding positions. We've got seem to have a lot of players in certain positions, a lot weaker in others, where we're trying to, like, say, Shieldsy, for instance, he's playing up front most of the time, then he's going to have to play centre back. It's hard for just where we're lining up. But after that, the training, we really kicked it up a gear, and that was probably even ourselves and Hurty really put a shift in the next month. And the reaction was brilliant, and it was a bit more fitness involved and more specified on what we were weakened in there. So, for instance, our crossing was... I think we put 2 crosses into the box. Everything else went out for... Probably took 70 crosses and 2 of them succeeded kind of thing. So just concentrated on the things we did wrong. But you can't worry about it. If you do, you just...
Did it take a little bit of the pressure off, in the sense that, because obviously you'd won every game beforehand, and there was inevitably people start talking about a perfect season or whatever,
and
then you sort of, it becomes a big thing for you guys, or not? Is it just sort of one of those things?
Maybe not too bad, because we've already done undefeated, so a lot of the lads in, obviously some haven't, which is fair enough, but a lot of lads have, so when you get into them last couple of games, then it is like, it's not a fact about winning, you do then want to not lose as well. But it was just a good, it was a real reaction of, like, it kind of, it annoyed everyone, like, really frustrated everybody, and it gave a lot of the players a lot of hunger to go, like, right, we need to, it's not going to be your walk in the park. Everyone, like you say, now you're towards the top, everyone wants a piece of you. Like, you see teams turn up and they just want to do it just to be that team that beat you or whatever, and that is what it is. You've got to deal with that.
Are you surprised, considering, like you say, you've lost that one game, but aside from that, are you surprised how close, like, you and Peel are?
Because
there's a gap opened up beneath you now. But like, Mary's and that were around that sort of area for a little while. But you two have really sort of gone off on your own.
They're not going anywhere. You're thinking if you're winning every time, it's like they're not losing anything. I don't think they will for like the rest of the season. It'll be right down to the wire. Like, obviously, if teams can still come back into it, but I don't see how Peel are going to drop off either. They've got it down to a T.
Because you said you had a bit of a shock. It was a bit of a scary look. Sorry, was it Mills?
Mills, we were down at half time,
3-1.
That was a bit of a tale of two halves, but we've had a few like that, but I think it was more conditions. They switched start. Like, we always defend the end, and it was just the wind. We didn't get out, but we still had the chances. We still should have probably been up in the first half, and then in the second half it was just not, didn't get them out of the half, to be honest with you. But
because it does seem to be a bit of a thing where you guys have either gone ahead and then been pegged back or gone behind early.
Yeah.
Whereas like Peel seem to start from the front and go for it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think we're a bit, probably in many ways a bit more inconsistent of first and second halves can be two polar opposites, where Peel will just do their thing and they turn up and they do it and go home. It's quite very regimented sort of thing, whereas, but we're getting the results.
That's why I think this weekend will be so interesting, as you say, Peel playing a different. That's why I think this game this Saturday, it'll be so, like, you play a bit differently. You've said they start from the front foot, Peel.
Peel start quickly.
Yeah,
they
did it on Saturday.
You quickly,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think it's just a great game.
It will be good. Yeah, you're going off the back of his summer saying like you, so you fell behind to Laxey last week, and you had to really dig deep to get back into that, didn't you? It was a tough old game.
That was a massive just character, like very like Brendan Rodgers. That what it was. It was like. There's nothing you could do. The pitch was horrendous. I feel sorry for Laxey in many ways, because we've had two games against them. They've been the hardest wins we've had. And both of them were 2-1, and both were coming from the behind in two last-minute goals as well. So I think Palmer looked just like he couldn't believe it at the end.
Describe Ken Avery's face to me.
You haven't taken any other Brendan Rodgers sort of stuff, have you?
Try not to.
Five envelopes going, one of you boys is going to let me out. Don't be one of these boys.
But behind the scenes documentary, though, we talked about it with Michael. It could happen with air.
It would be walking in the air, wouldn't it?
It would have to be, without a doubt.
We've got this thing about what each club's documentary would be called. It was like Michael United or nothing. And it was like walking in the air, and then we're going to get sidetracked again.
But everyone wants to see a documentary of Nick Hurt, let's face it. It would be absolute gold.
I'm not going to say that we want to see him getting changed like last week. What about the Michael manager? I won't say it. It wasn't the Michael manager, was it? It was the
It was Michael Corlett.
Michael Corlett. Yeah. I won't say that this week.
Tom Letcher's intrusive thoughts.
There was a justifiable reason, but I think Sam just shouted, like, let's move on, and I was like, oh, I can't explain.
Yeah, so if he is listening, he's safe from Tom.
Anyway, I mean, so, like, turning back to this weekend's game, how are the preparations going? How's the squad feeling? Are they all sort of
good? Yeah, training with big numbers on Tuesday. It was a good shift put in. Obviously, that's why there's no one here tonight, because the boys are training, so we didn't want to take anyone away from that. But I think last week gave us a big boost sort of thing, and it's a bit of a positive kind. Obviously, the last two, we've played them twice this year and beaten them twice in two big games, and there's no way we can do it. Last year, Peel and Laxey seems to be the teams that really can't seem to just, it's never easy, never easy. Last, I think the year we did well, it was a draw, just coming back, trying to get something. They up it, I think they up it 10% when they see us kind of thing, because a lot of the lads obviously played for Peel and stuff as well. But no, it should be good.
Do you notice any difference in the training, like, see, as you trained on Tuesday, with a game like against Peel this coming Saturday, do you notice a bit of a buzz in training? Are you noticing like the lads talking about it, or is it just quite the exact same as every other week?
I think if anything, it's probably the opposite. When you get to the lower teams, they maybe drop off a little. But when it comes to, to be honest with you, if from the sideline point of view, I'm more relaxed when we play the better teams than I are when we play the bottom half teams, because you know they're up for it. You can trust them. They're like the beasts, like all of them are just beat. You don't have to worry. Whereas when you sometimes play, you feel a bit of maybe naivety, or Union Mills, what they do is brilliant. They're really, really good at it. They go direct, quick, and the big boys up front and stuff. And I think when you go, you can get comfortable, and all of a sudden they can hit you three goals, and you're like, hang on a second. So just that bit of,
But even second half against Moran, I feel like, you know, the cup match.
Yeah.
I feel like first half, absolutely out of it. And then all of a sudden, like, there was a few, like, it was almost like a bit of a lapse in concentration from there. Like letting things.
You got to have that ruthlessness of being, I think we, who was it we had? Royals. And it was, I think that was just after the Corinthians game, and it was real off, like, right, don't just get to three or four, let's go 8, 9, 10. You've got to, like, years, like, jollies of years, they'll be 5 minutes ago and they're picking the ball out of net and sprinting back, and you'd all be there like, oh, what's he doing that for? But you have to, like, you really do, because if you don't, there's no point turning up winning 3-2. You need to be You know, like got killer in the second half.
Yeah, goal difference could play a part, couldn't it?
It was something we were, at one point, we're miles behind PLA and miles, and then we did a good run of games, and then we were like right, straight back up there, and it was needed, sort of thing. So,
well, obviously, we spoke about Ayres' preparations for the game, but Peel, we've heard from like Gaylor and stuff that they're missing a few. I'm sure you've probably known that. And I just want to know from your perspective. So, like Gaylor said that he obviously isn't playing because basically, there's been some mix-up, they think, with the FA, and they thought the game was going to be rescheduled for a different game, right, St George's. And I think, according to him and Bella, it seems to be like a few of them are missing. Yeah. Is that something that Ayre would relish? Like, oh, well, we can get there. Or is it almost like you want to play the exact best Ayre, so there's no excuse?
Be the best team, always always want that.
That's what I thought, because I'm like, you don't want to... You kind of just don't want to rock... I'm not saying that this Peel team won't be good. Because
no, they'll step up always, doesn't matter who.
Honestly, even a few combi lads coming through, they're playing Ayre in a league decider, effectively.
We were saying, if you name their front line, you can get like six or seven quality players.
They've got so much. I think if we miss, like I was saying the day before, at the Rams game, we had players missing, you're pulling straight, you're scratching, whereas Peel are just... They can replace so many and still... And they, you know, those players will put a shift in for the club as well, kind of thing.
But the big one I think that's missing is... is Lee Gayle. I think I was talking to you this week about it. I think he's like, we obviously, Moran played Peel on Saturday, and he's just a standalone, just unlike.
Oh, he's enjoying a phenomenal season,
and,
isn't he?
And exactly, and I think, I'm not saying that Moran would have got something last week, definitely not if Lee Gayle wasn't there, but you take him out of the team.
It's a much closer game.
He's so important to the way Peel play. He comes against the ball from midfield. Somehow he's got like he has a shot and it's like a bullet. He's just.
Well, he just brings everyone else up a level.
He brings the players around him better, as I was going to say. And I think I think for Peel, that is a huge loss this weekend. Like that's the game, the one game that Gaylor would have been like, "There's no way I don't want to miss that." And now he's missing it. He'd be like, "I think the lads around him would be good that he's not there as well." Like absolutely. It's just.
I mean, have you seen the plane tickets? He definitely ain't going to be here.
I'm not convinced until we get to that game. You see that start 11, that there all the way. I'm not going to believe it until the whistle goes. Then I go, right, they're definitely away. Yeah. That is.
Just be peering over the car, shall I?
This would be quality from Bella, to be fair. Like, he's been at the Grove and just planting the seed of people's heads.
Fergie level mind.
But no, as you say, I'm not surprised you've said that, because I feel like the top teams want to beat the best rather than just beat a team in their day.
It's a bit like when FC Isle of Man, players were coming in, but like people say stuff, was like, we'll take this out. There's no care in the world for them boys. Go back 7 years, and that's when it was big on FC dropping in and out. Yeah. And the Corinthians turned up with seven FC Armand players, and it was like we had to win the league. Let's have it. Like it ups you so much more, because you don't want, like you say, don't want that asterisk against you, kind of thing. Well, you got lucky because they're missing this, that, and the other. Who cares? Like they're only human.
Just got to beat what's in front of you. Yeah, at the end of the day.
And regardless of who Peel play on Saturday, they'll be bloody up for this. Yeah, especially at Peel. With the shed, the crowd behind them. And I think there'll be neutrals there just because it's this big of a game.
They know what it means, they know what they need, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
It's probably a good job it's not yours, because it's just like, you wouldn't be able to get parked for 4 miles. It's what I always say about going there. If we go to like a game like that, always go there early.
Yeah,
because otherwise, it's like, I sort of park down by the rectory now, because it's like, you get there anything after about half an hour before kickoff. You've got a mile down the road.
So get there early. Somewhere. Get there early. Yeah. Half two kick off, leave about 9 a.m. Then.
Got the Grosvenor on the way.
Pack your sandwiches.
Yeah.
Because, trip to Ramsey, you always pick sandwiches.
I've got the Grosvenor.
A bit further. Yeah.
I've got a complaint to make with Ayre. Not specifically the club. Oh. More the village of Andreas.
Right.
The Grosvenor, I was obviously playing in the combi game, but a few of the first team boys came up when it was. And the Grosvenor was closed second half.
It opens half five, I think.
But I think they said it was open for the first half, and then it shut.
They do like time, and so do a lunch hour, and then close for a couple of hours, and then open for the evening.
See, that is.
I'm not convinced they didn't know that you were turning up.
I did think.
Does that disrupt you? Not disrupt you guys after the games?
We've got a clubhouse, so we will go. After training, we go for a pint and stuff like that. I think it's half five it opens. So we've tried saying say after the game and we'll go straight up there, kind of thing. But
I did think when the Moran boys told me, I thought it might just be us being rowdy.
Yeah, they heard about
one beer in, they like close that pub. But
Hands from the Crosby's on the phone to them, like, yeah, you don't want this.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I was just because the Grosvenor, it's one of them pubs. It's like so out there. Like you just wouldn't go via
Food's brilliant. You want a good food,
food is good. Yeah, do you go often? Like, do you live in Andreas?
Bride.
Oh, so it's
even further north.
That is a mistake.
I've never drunk it,
Well, I'm intrigued. What do people do in Bride? So, what do you do when you're on a night out in Douglas to get a taxi home?
I don't really go out in Douglas.
To avoid. Like, I just find that, like, mad people.
It must be easier getting home from Douglas than getting home from Ramsey, because there's never like, any taxis in Ramsey.
It's quite hard to get home from Ramsey. I've walked a fair few times, but yeah, taxis is a nightmare. I'm the sort of person that I'll book a taxi before I go out. I like to know.
Oh, in advance.
I'll know. Gosh. And then Ramsey closes at 12:30, 1:00, so you know, you book it for 1:30, you're sorted, aren't you?
It's not like Shite Life when that used to be open.
No, not in the good old days.
Rolling out an afters there, though, if you get it at 1:30.
I'm way past that. I can't handle that anymore.
I get to about 12:30 and I go, is somewhere we can sit down?
Music's too loud.
But Dave, we've got some questions from listeners, readers, tweeters, whatever we're calling them.
Yes. Right, we'll go with... Who should we go with first? We'll go with Dylan Pickles.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
This is actually a fairly serious question.
Former teammate, I assume.
Good mate. If you had to pick your best five-a-side team of players that you played alongside, who would it be?
Ooh, that is...
Put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Probably should have let you see that question before we had it.
Who I've played with. Right.
We could let you put yourself in goal if you wanted to, mate. You know?
I could do that. That's pushing it out there. We'll go Perry in goals.
Andy Perry, great player. Good.
What five sides you got? We'll have probably one of the most talented boys. Unless they didn't maybe do the most in the games when I played him, was Chris Halsall.
Unbelievable.
But then came to 11-a-side, he didn't quite have it. But he's playing 5-a-side, he's probably the best. He'd be the best. Turn up in little pumps of plimsolls and he'd just destroy everyone. Shawnee Kelly be in there. A swing of a defender.
I'm thinking of 5-a-side, he could probably throw.
The long throw. Yeah.
Oh, God. Let me think. This is tough.
Really put you on the spot.
I'll just stick to the northern teams. It'll be easier. And then we'll go John Boy up front.
Yep.
He does a shift for the boys. All in midfield with Shawnee. And then defender will go... Yeah, we'll give Pickles his moment. Let Pickles go. Play our position at the back. Go out all the time.
He sat there waiting for that, wouldn't he?
I think that makes it easier for me.
Yeah.
Just looking forward to the point on Saturday afternoon where he's still going there. Yeah. I hear I'm not on your 5-a-side.
He will. He 100%
will. Right, what do you guys want to do the next one?
Yeah, Andy Ball, what odds would you give on Christian Penswick not getting injured between now and the end of the season?
I think he'll get all the way through. He's it's like a fine wine, Penno. He's just I don't think that's the answer Baller wants, but I'm sure that's the answer Penno wants. So I'll stick with keeping Penno happy.
To be fair, Penswick's a very good player to have around the squad because he's versatile, isn't he?
He can do whatever, and he's just training. He's just a character. He's just a good lad. Everyone loves him. It's just he's ace.
You gotta have people around.
Just hopefully
like
his body doesn't give up before he does, kind of thing.
Tom, next question.
We've got quite an intelligent question from Cam Avery. Given your side's achievements in recent years...
You can muffle it, put it down, speak into the microphone.
It's okay, Sam. Given your side's... Okay, I'll get myself ready for this, Sam. Given your side's achievements in recent years, are you surprised by the club's lack of representation in the FA, FC sides? Why do you think this is, and who do you think should be in for a shout?
Yeah.
Are you surprised by it? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. There's always been a thing of the North against everyone else, and it always will be a thing of the North against everyone else. I think there's a lot of lads who've just given up with football because they know they're never going to get their chance. I think some of the boys are so good. Like, so they've played in levels in England that, because they don't know about it, don't talk about it, don't. But it's. It's a tough one. I think there's a lot of players that would do very, very well in that team and were dead suited. You don't do what we've done. Like that year we won the treble and we lost one game that entire season, and a lot of FC Isle of Man players were playing you don't do that if you're not up to something. And then obviously this year, but it's one of those. It's can't be helped, can it? They don't affect them. I think if one or two have been asked.
I think Sean Kelly went for a little bit, but it was a big time commitment, I think.
Sean went down, and he's just certain things. He just was like, he would rather just play for air. And there were certain things that happened, which he was like, nah. It's like sort of a bit of a... It's tough. Like we had that Ireland trip that we did to Wales, and it was probably 7 or 8 of us in Ramsey Wards, and you do get that instant of is the North your sected kind of thing and stuff, and it is what it is. It won't change. It never will change, and that's unfortunate. But it is the way it is. It's just if it means we win in the league, then we'll take it. Is what it is.
It's. I think it's also been a thing with Old Boys in the past, so not just North, but I think Old Boys had a thing for when obviously they were doing well in the Premier League. There was a lot of questions being asked then. Why weren't they getting in the FA side? But yeah, absolutely. I mean,
it's the manager at the time, or do you think it could come down to a whole like?
Yeah, I don't know whether this is.
You look at how many Northern people are involved in anything in Isle of Man base. It's not. You're just not. It's
I was just thinking, you got Charlie and Jamie out of Ramsey are the two sort of that I can think of, and it's taken me a little while to think of.
Yeah, when Charlie got brought in, he was at Peel.
Yeah.
When Jamie did, he was at Geordie.
Yeah. So they weren't originally at Ramsey.
You got to do it, you've got to go. And it's sort of, when we were playing, like, they were good, very good players, but when we were coming through, you'd have people questioned about all these young lads coming through, why aren't they? It's like, we always got told you had to play for a top two team max. That was it. If you want to play anything higher. And then now we're coming with top team. It's now you pick people from the second division and whatnot. It's like, well, now we've done it. We've all come together because there's lads at Peel, Laxey. We've all come together as a group of mates and done really well. And it's like, well, you just can't win. But they're not bothered. Like I think Sean obviously went down, but it just didn't work for him and stuff. But you can't. I think Duggan's played a couple of games, hasn't he, kind of thing. But yeah,
there's definitely other players there that are good.
I was going to say, is there anyone else you can think of off the top of your head that you think would deserve a shout with FC? Do you think they would do well?
I don't know if it's like now it's just it's the ship sailed kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. Like 2 years ago, you're looking at a team going, I don't know, who am I taking out of this air team that are going to get replaced by them? You're looking at it, and I'm like, he's not getting an air team. So how can he not get an Ayres team, but can get in the best 11 in the Isle of Man. Like that's, but it is what it is. It's not. They've got their people, and that's fine. And
as you say, it's not the worst thing in the world if you're going to go and do the treble, is it? So you can take that lack of.
Yeah, and Hurt sort of likes to. He wants his air players being air players kind of thing. So for him, it's what you much prefer that as well.
I think that's the right thing.
Yeah. I suppose as well. I think if it's, I don't know obviously, but a lot.
Seem to have heard a bit more about that this year, haven't
I? Yeah, I was going to say, but imagine that a lot of the air players predominantly live up north, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of north.
So they wouldn't want to get up at like 5 o'clock to go down to training at the bowl at 6 or whatever, would they?
Certain people would, like, right. That's a guarantee. It's like, but others won't. To them, there's more to life than this, and then you get, just personality traits of whether they want that or not, and Probably the lesser players are the ones that would do it.
Yeah.
And the more talented ones maybe wouldn't do it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But then obviously they've got the Arn team, it's obviously that as well. So, but only, I think only J. Cal represented us at the Arn games.
Well, the Arn team's basically on the shelf at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since the Arn games, not heard nothing peep about it.
And I can't believe that. The national side for the Isle of Man's getting pushed to a side because of a club. I don't think it is.
I think if you look at it, there's something gone wrong at the FA. It's not working, because I've asked Meps about this and he's just sort of been like, it's in their hands sort of thing. But the women's side are playing, and you can't say that it's anything else, because you look at that team that went to the Arn games. Adam Killier played for Ravens, and a couple of others have played about sort of thing, but not big numbers of it.
I think the national side is the biggest honour you can do in the Arn, and I think it's the highest beat you can get to.
I think it
becomes before any club, whether it's like, and then it goes to your
goes from around.
Well, no, not for me. but for other people, like I just think of the national side should be number one. National side number one, then it can go FC Arman if you wanted to, and then it can go to.
We can have you on the back page, Curfee Club and Country Row.
That would work. We don't have an example.
I think that's a loss of the FC Arman boys. They'd love to represent it as well.
Yeah.
Like Bassey, when he stopped FC straight away, wanted to do that, and I think you're like. who were stagged with Doyle, and he was saying they'd all love to. So it's like, it is a pride thing. They all want to, but obviously, you're governed, aren't you?
Yeah,
they don't have a choice, don't they?
Yeah.
Which then obviously makes. I think that Wales trip we went on with Blaine, yeah, squad he had, then you look at the next season, half of them have been taken from FC. So he's gone, you can see, like, he's going to go, oh, well, I've got to start again. Then your preparations, and then. You know, there was like Tiernan and all them boys, like younger lads coming through, and then oh, he's got to start again because they've gone straight away, and it's tough. You know, he's in a no win situation, I think, because the better players go there, and then he's got to try and just fill gaps.
I'm intrigued to know what you think about. So during the season, at any point, like so, for example, a player can be grabbed from any club. So could play for FC Man. I know that won't affect Air as much. Obviously, you've said that Nick Hurt's quite like. You play for Air, this is Air,
you
don't go anywhere else. And I think that's what most clubs would want to have.
Yeah.
Have this bunch. I think Palmer came on
Palmer
and spoke about...
did it at the weekend with Gartland.
Yeah, did he say you couldn't play?
On the bench.
Oh, see,
benched him.
Exactly.
So that's his way,
So this is what I mean. I think it's got to be you prioritise your club. But what do you think about just in general, FC Alman being able to just handpick these players during the season? Do you think it should be maybe at the start of the season they should pick a squad, don't pick anyone else outside of that? Or
I think... it'd be good to have. It'd be better for everyone to know where they're at if you have a squad, if you have a set map. Obviously, they need a lot of players. For me, if I was a player, I'd want to play the highest level. So I don't think you should ever be stopped. If they want to go do that, please go and do it. Like really, you have got to push it. I'd sort of encourage it. The training's obviously amazing. The boys are fit as hell. So if you can go there and train and then come and play, I'd be happy with that because you know at least you're getting a good training session. It's not like, I think if you commit to one, you're in one or the other. But it's hard because then someone's in form. You want to give your opportunity, and I think that's like when Duggan and Sean played. They were playing well, and they had put a bit of a combined. It was like Danny Gerald or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they had their chance to go and go. Well, do you want, if you want to play FC Alman, go play well today. And so it's like a little trial, isn't it? Halfway through the season, but. It's up to the person as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
I was going to say, annoyingly, I can't find it where it was. I saw it the other day. It was the figures for how many players they've all used. And it was they had about, I think it was just around about the 50 mark. But it was like nowhere near the top in that league.
Yeah, exactly.
Skemsdale used like 87 players. It's ridiculous. But they all come through Chin Bonders Academy, so it's all sort of. But like, even at Bury, if you use like a tremendous amount of players. Like that just seems the nature of how that
it must be brutal. Like, what 2 years in FC Alman as a player must be like 7 years in Alman football. Do you know how exhausted you'd be after it and training and matches and stuff? It's a hell of a commitment, so you can see when the boys, if they stop, you can understand why.
That's
why it's a certain age. Like, you know, a lot of the lads at Air now are houses, kids, marriage, that kind of thing. You're up against. By the way, I'm going to be doing this. So it's,
absolutely.
Well, speaking of FC Alman, we've got one from their ex-goalkeeper there. Well, I say he hasn't featured for a while, but
Matt Quirk, he's asked, how did you find the transition from being an outfield player to a goalkeeper, and what is the hardest thing you found about being a goalkeeper?
Diving. It was like just like technique. To be fair, it was battered and bruised, especially in pre-season. The first pre-season, the ground's rock solid. You're just covered, and it's sort of just getting used to throwing yourself to land. Obviously, fairly heavy unit as well. It's not landing soft on the ground, anyways. I found it. I played cricket for years for like the R&D and stuff. So that sort of thing was. If you can stop a cricket ball coming twice as fast, football's quite easy kind of thing.
Did you ever find, when you were warming up before games, that the person who was warming you up managed to injure themselves? Because Tom here managed to do this last week with the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was, just to twinge my knee a little bit. And I feel like I'm fine now, so I've got over it.
I feel like I do that every weekend when I do Nathan, to be fair. So.
But what made you want to become a goalkeeper? Is that just simply the cricket thing? Is that
My dad was a goalie.
Okay.
Dad was a very good goalie. And then I've had 4 knee operations. So if I wanted to carry on playing, it was either goals or nothing kind of thing. So I only played 2 years in the end, and then I had to get another 2 knee ops. So it was the only option of playing. But I played a bit when I was younger and stuff like that. And then for me, as an outfield player or centre back or whatever, I knew what I want for my keeper. So instead of trying to do anything, I just did what I thought
I'd want it.
Yeah. So like being loud with your feet and then just coming out for everything, that kind of thing. So
yeah, you understand the role more then, don't you?
Yeah, you know, you can see it from a different point of view. Whereas as a goalie, it's brutal. Like, it's so mentally, it is It is horrendous. Like, you can see why, especially if you've done it for years and years and years, it's, you get so itchy. Ours was like, all out, go for it, see what happens. Yes. Kind of thing.
So this isn't a question, but it's one I love asking goalkeepers. What's your biggest howler? Like, have you got one, like, you've just been like, that is awful goalkeeping?
I've got more than one, yeah.
I'm just thinking right now of the... sorry, Robbie Casey, but the famous goal for Foxdale with the Jed Power commentary.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, kicked it as
well. Oh, yeah, I said that the other week again.
When it comes up on Twitter, it's like,
we haven't done that for a while.
Yeah, we'll have to
insert it in here.
it's just so good because it's the commentary, it's everything, and it's just, how has that even come about? But yeah, have you got one similar to that?
The worst one, the first season, I think they scored directly from a corner. I just missed. I went to punch the ball and just missed it. It went like up over my head. I was like, I think the centre back tried to claim it as an own goal to make me feel better. Kind of Jason did. And the worst one for air was in the Ramsey game of all games as well. Someone's hit a free kick just down my throat. I was like, bang, into the sack, and then it just knuckled and it's then hit my chest. It wobbled and like rose up. It's hit me like here. I've gone like that, and it's just. Like a trampoline chest bounced out, and then Jason just followed up, tapped in. I was at Ballacloa, and then everyone's behind me. I'm like, what have I done? Of all games, sort of thing. Yeah. But
that's a killer.
It's the way you got to come back from them, sort of thing.
I always find it funny with keepers as well, because you can't say anything to them. Like, you can't turn around and go, what the hell is that? Because you don't want to, like, they're already down. So you always get the little centre back tap in their head, being like, hey, get back up. Yeah. That's even more like condescending, I feel like. It's like, yep, unlucky.
Do you do that right back?
When I mess up, I just put my hand up.
Do you
we're blessed with decent ish goalkeepers at Moran, so.
Well.
I say ish. Ish is harsh. Yeah, decent goalkeepers at Moran. Normally got Harry Barton or Henry Telford behind me in the combi, and I'm like, can trust them. It's normally me messing up and then telling me off. So, yeah.
How did you find the transition from being like obviously a player to obviously coaching and managing now?
I've done loads of coaching, to be fair. I always just pick up the odd session. I have done for a while. Just pick up the odd session at Ramsey, and I did it as well. And it was sort of like, if you're a captain kind of thing, I just did things to try and help. But it's hard. It's taken a while, I think. Sort of, you got to earn their respect in a managerial point of view, because imagine someone's coming in going and telling you what to do. Like, why are you telling me what to do? And
yeah.
You can understand as well, like, you fully do. So just try to put the effort in as much as you can. If you're there twice a week putting on a good session, no one can say anything to you, kind of thing. Obviously, Saturday hurt you, sort of leads the way, but unless he's playing. But it's just it's hard. There's a lot more to it.
Do you speak to Hurty about deciding the squad? So for a Saturday, I don't know what your combi's like in terms of the fringe players, stuff like that. But when you're there picking the squad for example, Saturday, will you have a say in that, or will it just purely
you
be
chat
like,
on a Thursday? And to be honest with you, it's pretty black and white little thing. Yeah, and there was a few lads we sort of like young Mark Nixon. He played up the first half of the season. He played brilliantly. He played every game. But then he sat on the bench for four games. So then it's a case, right, give him minutes in the combi. But then the combi got called off for 4 weeks in a row. He got like Harvey and stuff, and Wilde have been up and down. So there's a struggle for numbers at training with the combi. They've had that many games called off and stuff as well. They just lost a lot of interest. But like, say for instance, Mike Nixon, Mark's dad, he trains twice a week every week. So then we've got to the semi-final and the final of the Railway Cup. He was on the bench for both kind of thing. He's like, he earned his spot kind of thing. But we've got a couple of lads that we want to push through, but at the same time, no one wants to be sat on the bench.
No.
Especially if you do for weeks and weeks and weeks, you need to play. So that's just to kind of try and mix that up, really.
I feel that's the difficult thing about being a fringe player. You're not quite starting.
Yeah.
But you'd rather be playing, but you'd rather be in the first team. Yeah. So it's a difficult one.
It's hard.
Do you want to watch the whole thing, get 10 minutes, and you don't feel like you've contributed?
Sometimes if you're in the first team as well and you drop down to the combi to play, you never get back up because they think you're just wanting to play. But I think now we've got like our first team sort of squad of say 18 or whatever, they could all play. They should all start. So that's where it comes down to.
And that's like, as much as that's a headache for you guys, I can imagine it's a luxury as well. Like, I feel like Dave Brew would love to sit down and around and go, got 18 players, but unfortunately one of them's Tom Curfew. And then you've got to go, so like, that's all the whole thing I think, with the reason why you and Peel are where you are, comes down to depth, doesn't it? And I think you get an injury, you get a slight, like, someone away 1 week, for example Peel, it's all about having the person to come in, I feel.
This now is the first time where we've had a full squad. We've had Hurty on the bench by himself numerous times, like one person on the bench. So now we're getting to say, we just signed Louis Morris as well. So that was he's been training with us for a month or so now. So it's just coming to the end of the season, Orm's back from injury, Louis joined, Jed's back for the new year. There's a lot of people, just things are starting to sort of
It's all kind of working out at the right time. If this can happen at the start of the season, then it can all crumble, can't it?
You can put the emphasis of like no one's safe, position safe kind of thing, which is what you're on at training kind of thing to sort of up it a bit.
Yeah. But everyone fighting for their position.
Yeah.
We've got a couple more questions.
You're looking at winning the league, hopefully, and you're looking at winning the Pro. But how did it feel winning the Ramsey Golf Club Winter League?
With Liam as own. How did that compare?
Liam needs to calm down because we haven't won anything yet. He's getting far too ahead of himself. We're doing well though. We are doing well, and he's very excited. He's just trying to get rid of all the hate he's getting.
To play a lot of golf.
Yeah, that's the main sport now, kind of thing. So, we've had four subs. Idiot over here took the end of his finger off with a planer at work, and so we get four subs throughout the winter league, and we've used all four subs, and Liam's getting a bit of abuse saying that we've cheated, and he just wants to make sure that we win it to make sure no one can say anything that asterisks against it. So
love it.
Well, the last time I went to Ramsey, I had a bone to pick with Liam because there was no pasties or anything on at Ramsey, but I believe they might have sorted that out now.
Oh, really?
They've got pasties, sausage rolls back at half time. I think.
Also, Ramsey Bakery went. It all went. Everyone went downhill food wise. Are we the same?
Do Air still offer food?
Chips and everything.
I've noticed the bar doesn't open until after full time, though.
After the game.
I always think like spectators might want a beer when they're watching.
Connor Gilbert texted me when he was there, and I was like, well, he wants the bar open, doesn't he?
Connor's typing, I know what he wants.
Is the bar going to be open? Is Andrew's shop around the corner, mate? Is that okay?
The thing that catches me out was, because you don't take card, the bar does, but the little tea hatch doesn't.
No, that's only a little cash. Cash.
Yeah, that's really,
I think there's a lot of like the sort of rules and stuff have got quite strict, haven't they, with bars and things like that, with personnel there. So I think they just wait and hold on kind of thing until,
That's fair.
What's the last question we've got?
It's actually two-parter from the person who's your guest with you last time you were on, Steve Barber. Right, we'll go with the first question. Can you please explain the reasoning behind the name Lugsy?
No one calls me Lugsy, but it's because I've got massive lugs.
Simple explanation.
Yeah, there you go.
No beating around the bushes, to be honest.
Right, part two, do you want to say it?
Will you ever get over the fact you will always be in Big Tony T's shadow? Tell me who's Tony T.
That's my dad. And no, I will never get over the fact I'll always be in his shadow. He's better at every sport than me, or was better at every sport than me. And that's unfortunately the way it's going to be. Although he did not win, which cup did he win? Didn't win the Railway Cup, so I've got that.
Take that to Christmas Day.
It's the best trophy as well.
So I like them questions because there's some absolutely ridiculous ones, but we also get some quite serious ones as well. That's what we kind of aim
good
for,
balance,
isn't it?
Good balance.
That's what you want. And I feel like you got off lightly. I remember we've had guests in, and they're like, some of them are.
I've been ripped apart. Yeah. Like honestly,
some of them you can't even mention them.
Yeah,
like,
they'll just save that to do it to my face. And
Yeah, that's the thing.
What you say?
Yeah, struggling there.
Sorry, right?
We do have a weekend of action coming up. So, where should we start?
There's only
some,
one place.
Honestly, there's some unbelievable games, but there's obviously only one place.
Yeah, you're right.
There?
So, Ramsey. I've got Bradley. I'm going for a home win.
Are you serious? Are we starting here?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought we'd get a few out of the way.
Ramsey, Braddon.
Oh, Braddon put up a good fight last week, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think it sounds like the girl in a horror film.
Well, yeah, I mean, fair enough. But no, I've got to. Braddon will do okay. They do definitely need to start picking up points soon. But Ramsey, just too good.
Yeah, I think Ramsey will. The thing is, I was thinking, like, the likes of Ramsey, they're obviously still fighting for that place in the top four. And that'll be really tight, I think. Like, I know Peel and Air have gone above, but I think there'll be a little bit of a race to get in the top four between them, Laxey. The Corinthians as well, maybe. I think Corinthians are a bit off. We're just looking at the table.
So
I think it'll probably be between Ramsey and Laxey. But like lower down you get, I was just going to say, if that gets decided early, later on in the season, you'll play these teams and they might not have as much to play for.
Exactly.
So like you kind of want.
You're already pinpointing them to pick up points.
Exactly.
Aren't you?
Yeah. I think working around gets some points here. But like there's these clubs in the middle almost that like I feel like they wear off. Marown have been in the situation before. You've got five games to go. You're safe. It's kind of like, I bloody wish we were like that this season, but yeah.
Well, it's also, if you've still got quite a few games at the end of the season, you start having midweek ones when people can't commit.
Yeah. Especially, remember, was it last year, Air First Team had Russian midweek down at Russian, I think it was, down at Croydon Lowry.
And it was like, lads, they expected them to get down there, and sort of like ask straight after work, or either work, it was just like...
It was called off, wasn't it? Is it half six kickoff midweek?
It usually is, I think, isn't it? Yeah, but that's just too brutal, isn't it?
Imagine working in Andreas or living, like being at home and then having to go down.
Or Bride. Could go much further, could you?
I blame the way you live. but as to the question, Sam, I will go Ramsey win. I think it'd be quite comfortable at Ballacloan as well. We've gone on about their home advantage that might not even actually exist, but we'll go Ramsey.
What about you, Nick?
Ramsey.
Yeah.
Comfortably, I think.
Well, with that,
you've got
to
support your old team.
Oh, I won't go that far.
We will turn to Douglas Road. Peel versus Ayr. I don't know what to say about this. We haven't already said, really, because Tom's spoken a lot about what's going on inside the Peel camp.
I've basically just told them the secrets, but not that I know, probably. I've just been chatting to Gail. We were actually going to think about getting like a Peel player on as well.
Oh, right,
and
nice,
doing like a bit of like that, and just not tell either of you. Just separate. But both waiting in reception, like, what the hell? But Peel just saying, like, no, they don't have money to go on and stuff like that, so...
Yeah, but it still should be a competitive game.
Honestly, I don't think it matters who Peel have got. No matter what happens here, it's a 90 minutes of... It'll be a quality game of football, I think.
Yeah. Do you think... I mean, this is going to be the title decider, isn't it? Let's face it.
Six-pointer kind of classic.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, the goal difference is there, but you'll go level on points with them if you win. And how?
With two games in hand.
What's the goal difference like, Sam?
About 57 plays 39.
Okay, so that's 18. That's not too bad. I mean, you've got quite a lot.
I think it's quite a lot.
Manx football would look at that and go, it's not too bad, actually.
I was thinking you beat Royal 8-0 or whatever. You know,
two good weeks.
Exactly.
But then there are also the games, like, for example, you'll play Moran or Nils, whatever, and you'll have them games. And it won't be a walk in the park because they'll be fighting for their lives down at the bottom.
Yeah, when it comes to the end, someone's fight. It's the ones you want, like you say, the middle teams where they don't really care.
And then you can pump 10 past them, exactly. I think 18 goals is quite a lot, personally. I think that's a heavy.
Don't want to go down to points anyway. No, goals anyway,
exactly.
So.
And I think, as you say, this Saturday is just the one. Both teams have to win it.
Yeah.
So,
still going for the home win then, yeah?
How do you think it'll go? Generally, like, not just the score. How do you think the game will go?
I think it'll be intense. It'll be like the final. Boys are going at each other, kind of thing. And it was, the quality might disappear a bit, but it'll be. It'll just be, it's kind of classic, just about winning. Whoever wants to win it most.
Exactly, it's not about how well you play on the day, is it? It's all about
turn up and all absolute shifting kind of thing. So,
Will there be some celebrations? Not massively, because you've not won the league or anything yet. But will there be some celebrations on Saturday?
Yeah, normally is. So peel away. We tend to go out and peel and stuff like that always with them, and we did it like last time we played. We went up to the clubhouse because it just opened, kind of thing.
Do you go out with them? It's like,
often.
It's quite good that, because as you say, it can get quite tense on the pitch. Yeah. And I like the idea that you can just go shake hands.
But I think not many of them went out because they got a bit of a pump in that day. So they weren't too bad. They really scored a speaker, I don't think, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
My idea of her, you just doing like a full on, like, Sooners.
That flag the flag. Yeah.
Oh, too fair if we get.
So take you back in the away win then?
Yeah.
Dave?
Give us a score.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what I want to hear.
3-1.
3-1
here. Close. I'm still a little bit cynical about Peel's squad. I don't know, is it mind games or what? I don't know. It'd be close, but I'm 2-1 to Ayr, I reckon.
So you're just saying that because you see it?
Yeah, totally.
To be fair, I think I'm going to have to go an Ayr win as well, just because of what I've heard from Bella and Gaila and just the Peel camp. I just think, I don't know who's going to be there. I just think Ayr might just have enough. You beat them at the early in the season in the league, didn't you?
4-1, yeah.
Yeah, but why is this? This is a rearranged game. Why was it off the last time? That's what I was intrigued to know. Like, at Peel, you'd think, when has a game been off at Peel ever? Like,
I have no idea.
I don't know what... I
just thought this was...
Wasn't it?
No, Moran played Peel
at Peel.
No, but I'm just thinking, like, when... It never very rarely
they
happens.
They never
to
get
Peel.
Pulled off.
Honestly, the pitch is solid.
Especially the wind and everything. Rain. It's like you play some bad conditions.
Yeah. It could have been like a frozen pitch. You know, it could be something like that.
Yeah, I was just intrigued.
The actual pitch itself would be fine, but.
But yeah, I'm going to just narrowly go out. I think it'd be 2-1. I think it'd be tight. What are you, Sam?
I'm going to go for the lesser spot of Desmond.
Oh, 2-2. Nice.
What does a draw do then? What does that like?
It's to put it in Ayr's hands, really. It's all just, as you were, I think. It's just, but Peel basically need to win this.
Do you think Peel, if they do have the players missing, would take a point?
Yeah.
Do you not think, because it's not in their hands?
They need to win. I think they have. Yeah. And I think they'll have the attitude of go all out, gun home.
Would you take a point?
No, never take a point.
But if you got one at the end of the game, and it was...
If it was a tight game, you got 1-1 or something like that, you go, well, that's not the end of the world.
Exactly, you've not lost.
It isn't the end of the world, but yeah.
You never start the game looking for... Well, I feel like Ayr Moran often do.
Don't worry about that.
From Douglas Road, let's take a short trip down the road, down to the bottom of the league.
Oh, brilliant.
Where Moran are hosting...
Union Mills in a big one.
Another 6 point of this.
Yeah, honestly, I know we were talking about when I was to send our photographer this Saturday, and honestly, there's so many good games for him to go to. Obviously, PLA, you've got to go.
Yeah.
But Moran, while he's passing...
Yeah, I think.
On the A1, you might as well stop in on Church Road.
We'll have to say, obviously, there will be a sad start to proceedings, won't there, Tom?
No, absolutely. George Corkill died on Tuesday. Moran Club president for about, I think it's just under 40 years, and he sadly passed away on Tuesday. And actually, it's quite poignant that we're playing Union Mills because before he joined Moran in however long ago, 47 years, he was at Union Mills. So it makes sense that this game has kind of worked up to this week. So I think some of George's family will be there this week. It'll be really sad. And George has been a massive part of Moran Football Club. And one of them people, you don't feel like you get them anymore. You know, like, just a proper figure who's just always there.
Well, football wouldn't fit.
It's him. That's what he's
talking about. Well, not yet. Let's not get there. I'm nowhere near on George's level. And honestly, he's they do so much behind the scenes that you don't see. Like, we've already mentioned on podcasts previously, kids turn up now, they get their kits on, they think football's that, and they go home, they go to the pub, whatever. People like George, like, they do so much that you don't even notice. Maybe, obviously, he was getting older and he didn't do as much. But throughout the years, George has done an incredible job, and the club wouldn't have survived without the likes of him, Tim O'Hanlon. So, yeah, it'll be a sad day for the...
So there's going to be a minute's silence before every game.
Every game, yeah.
And then there's going to be like a short... Oh, there's going to be some flowers.
Just bouquet and Crosby just to hand over to the family. I think that'd be quite a nice moment. It's difficult because we've had far too many of these down at Moran playing fields because it's just we're losing too many of our friends. It's like it's horrible. But yeah, it'll be an emotional start, but the players will have to have their...
Well, see, you've got to win. Basically, you've got to get some points on the board.
And I think they'll probably want to win more now with this going on as well. So, it'll be a really, really, really tough game, I think.
So it's going to be a really, really tough game. Mills are they 11 points? Who are you at 11 points?
11 points.
So it's a must win. Exactly what score you think Moran are going to win by, Tom?
You know what? You say Mills play a bit long ball. Like, they...
I think long ball puts a bit of a downer on that.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Did to us anyways.
And I feel like that's one maybe what we're a bit expecting a little bit. I was going to say what we're good at then. Not a great deal. No, we are. We've got good players, and I think we've got a few players back. We've had a few injuries. Obviously, Matty Davies being out doesn't help and stuff like that. But this is a must win, and it'll be going to go 3-2 Moran win.
That would have been my prediction. But you have to say, though, this would be Moran's first win of the season at home, wouldn't it?
At home, yeah, which is staggering. Not including the Combi. I've been involved in many wins down there.
Of course,
But yeah, first home win, which normally I feel like we're better at the playing fields. But yeah, I'll go Moran 3-2 win, if not by more, because it'd be a comfortable year.
Dave? 3-2, I'll agree with Tom on that one.
3-all.
3-all? I don't know if that'll help either of us, will it?
No.
5-2 Mills.
Oof. They've got the firepower.
Sorry, have I just heard that? Like, why?
They've got more firepower than you have.
Okay, Sam. Yeah, fair enough.
They score more goals. Do they score more goals?
This is when you'll see the tweets. It's 5-2, exactly. Yeah. Sam have got it bob on.
I'm actually involved in an elaborate match fixing game. You know, like Italian football, it's nothing compared to this.
Still think there should be a Manx football betting app. But the problem is, it would be absolutely rigged, wouldn't it?
All Manx 40 Fantasy League.
That would be good. To be fair. But imagine like Pulley Combi to lose 8-0. You'd get players just tapping in their own net, wouldn't you? So
there's one person to sort out a Manx Fantasy football. It's got to be Hattie, because he's probably got all the stats in his head. He can just do it all. But make it happen.
I'll leave you to discuss that one.
No.
Yeah.
Moving, Joe, we'll just keep going, man, as we're going here. So slightly further down the road, we have the Battle of the Saints.
Yes.
St Mary's versus St John's.
Yeah, this is kind of one of them games that, like, as we were talking about, clubs that maybe don't have an awful great deal to play for. St John's maybe are one of them.
Yeah,
now.
See, I think St John's, they'll be fine. They're not going to go. They're not going
to
go down.
Mary's, on the other hand, have to win
this best of the rest sort of situation.
Mm, but they still have to win. Like, look, they've played a lot less games, I've noticed, than Laxey and
fewer. Tom, fewer.
Few, oh, sorry, that's some journalist. Yeah. Fewer games than Laxey and, oh, just Laxey actually. Ramsey on the same amount of games. So yeah, I think it'll be a tight race for the top four. So I think Mary's will win this. I think they'll be pushing. They've got a few good results recently. They beat Laxey at the Bowl twice in a row. So I think it'll be a Mary's 3-0.
I'd go 3-1. I reckon St John's will score. I reckon Mary's will win.
Mm. Yeah, I was at the reverse fixture on the opening day, and that was 6-0 to St Mary's. But to be fair, St John's were depleted. They're missing
Luke Morey now. So
they'll. It'll be a lot closer than that, I think, this week, but I still think St Mary's will win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, St Mary's.
Yeah.
And does that just leave the one game in the Premier League? Now, we're a bit stuck on this week, right, because we just instantly went El Clasico, and we think that's only actually because of Andy.
Probably. We could blame a lot of things on Andy, to be fair. So.
Yeah, so we think it's probably that. But anyway, it is St George's versus Laxey. At one point, this was like the fixture in Manx football, and now it's Geordie's in a very different situation. Where are they looking, Tom? You've got the paper in front of you.
Yeah, Geordie's are fourth from bottom. They're on 13 points. I think they've just done enough to stay up already. They're just kind of away from the
5 points above you.
You're 5 points above.
How many games have they played?
They've played 15, but Braddon have played a significant amount more. And then, yeah, so I don't know. They're still kind of in a battle, but I think one or two more wins for Geordie's and they'll be out of it. And I think this will be a lot closer game than you might think based on the league table.
Well, I think there's been a couple of examples where you could say, yeah, they're different, but Geordies have not had a spanking, really. You know, they don't get battered by anybody. They might lose, but they don't get battered, you know, even when they have lost, they haven't really had that many hard.
It's experience, probably, isn't it? I think it'll be close, but Laxey will just scrape it.
Yeah, same. I think it will be close. With the FCL man squad, I'll take it the normal contingent are playing, like Ben Wilkinson and Jacob Crook. Yeah. So, yeah, Geordies won't have them. So, close, but Laxey win.
Yeah, probably. I think we're going that way. Nick, would
Laxey,
you?
Laxey, good.
I just suddenly realised I said yes. We're actually checking. So, I know Ben's in the squad. I think Jacob is as well. Yeah, he is as well. So,
yeah,
Geordies will be up to their usual sort of strength that you'd get. So, yeah, I reckon probably Laxey just about, but I do agree with Tom, it'll be close. Before we dip down into DPS Division 2, we have the small matter of the Woods Cup.
Yes, we do.
This week. We may as well start with Govs versus D&D, because that's where Hattie's going.
Mm-hmm. He loves a trip to Govs, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm just get out of the way now. Govs will win that, I'll be fine. There we go.
D&D win.
Yeah, I've got to go with D&D.
Any track on Division 2, or have you just sort of long forgotten those days?
Yeah, I'm a bit slack on that sort of thing now. I have enough to think about.
Govs are like second in the league, they're going up.
Yeah, is that right?
Don't believe
him. Is that on your footy manager? Is it
something like that. Yes, so you don't have any idea on that one?
No.
It's a big one, though.
Well, yes, there's a couple of big ones in this, really. So Michael versus Old Boys, which is not the game it would have been at the start of the season. Because Old Boys have had this sort of second half of the season rejuvenation. Dave, where do you reckon that will go?
Yeah, this is going to be a close one. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to extra time. I think Michael have got extra firepower, so if I had to pick one side, it would be them. But as you say, Old Boys, they're doing all right at the moment, so it'll be a close game.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be tight. I think Michael might just do it, though. I don't know why, but I think they might.
I reckon extra time, Michael will just sneak it.
Yeah.
But I think it could be close. Mooloo Carby, which Adam's going to.
Oh, the Southern Derby. This is going to be something.
It's another game. Good game.
Yeah.
Carby.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. But then, I feel like Mooloo are doing a bit better now, aren't they?
They're okay. They're up to seventh, I think, aren't
they? Exactly.
Yeah, I think they're doing all right.
You know what? And Colby have kind of dropped off. So they're basically next to each other, not in points, but near each other in the league.
Yeah, I think, I know it's a bit of a cliche, but form kind of goes out the window when it's a derby. You know, and it's kind of like one of those where they'll just be so fired up for this game.
They'll be up for it. They'll know. Yeah, exactly. I think we're close. 2-1 Colby.
Yeah, I've got 3-1 Colby.
Any idea?
Any preference?
Colby.
Yeah. Higher in the table, that's a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
The big game in the Woods Cup this week is, of course, Onchan versus Foxtel.
A warm-up to their league meeting next week.
It is, yeah. It's sort of a weird one, this one, because I think Dean's going to this. I'm not 100% sure.
Right. I know Hattie's going to the league meeting next week. Yeah. Yeah, this should be a good game. I mean, two informed sides.
I think the thing is this, it's... I wouldn't be amazed if this turns into a feeling each other out sort of game.
Yeah.
Because... they're both, yeah, I think Foxtel are still the only, they're not the only unbeaten side, are they? Didn't we have this last week? There's a combi team who hasn't lost.
Yeah, didn't someone say Onchan Combi have
Onchan Combi have not lost. There you go.
So, I reckon it'd be ridiculously tight game this, because Onchan's firepower is something else. But then Foxtel have got the front three as well, so it's sort of like...
This will be, I don't know how you decide between them. Onchan are back in it. Like I think these two are the teams that will go up, if I had to guess right now. And that's why I think it'd be such a good game. And as we were saying, you don't want to meet these two teams to meet in the Woods Cup this early.
No.
You want the spectacle at the bowl in front of all the fans. And
this
stuff,
is so. It. You kind of would have thought this would be the final with possibly Michael or Old Boys contesting that. But
so,
yeah, it's going to be very close. Again, I think this might go the distance. I think.
Yeah, mate. It's at Billigo, isn't it?
No, it's
a... Oh.
It's
so it's got a chance of being on.
It's the... I reckon Onchan just.
I think maybe just Foxtel. But then I think in the reverse one, they'll lose.
See, I was thinking the exact same. I think Onchan this week.
Yeah.
But then Foxtel will do
the What do you want to win more? Do you want to stay in the Woods Cup? Or do you want a massive, massive 3 points to go stay in the race for the title and the promotion?
I think I'd rather go up.
Well, we've had this conversation with Nick before, didn't we?
Definitely.
So you think it's all about going up into the top flight?
100%, yeah. Mm.
I think for Foxtel as well. I know Onchan have not been that long gone, but Foxtel, when was the last? They've been this close for years. So
that
flatbed
is ready to go. The trophy parade is going to happen.
Any of us want, really.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't really want to see that.
Yeah. Of course, we do actually also have games in Europe's best division.
Of course, Division 2.
Nick not caring about it at all. Yes, Division 2. Yeah, we've got Jims versus Rykob. I got a bit of stick last week for just saying that the Jims game wouldn't be on, so who cares? So with that
who was the stick from?
There weren't that many games on last week, so it was a fair comment. But
yeah. Felt like a 7-man game. Quite sure who it was, to be honest.
Big Jims, then, mate.
Yeah, which, considering this didn't go out as a video last week, that was just audio. I'm concerned that we're getting so well known. We'll be signing the autographs next day.
I doubt it highly.
Well, your gran asked for one. Well, Chester Day's phone number, but
it's a whole different story.
Jims versus Rykob. Rykob still yet to build that pier. Stadium, so
yeah. I love how that's the big thing we talk about every time we mention Rykob. It's just like,
so I think we have to sort of admit that we don't know what we're
doing. No, I'm clueless.
Played for 4 years.
I am clueless, and this is the thing. I feel bad for not giving an in-depth analysis of these clubs, but you can.
Well, I think if you looked at the league table, you'd have to say Youthy, but it's a false position for Jims because they've still only played, is it, what, 8 or 9 games?
Yeah, this is the thing. They've played the least amount of games in the whole of Division 1 and Division 2. They've played 9 games. They're still in single figures.
It's technically possible for them to qualify for the World
Cup. Exactly. So
in all the leagues, they've played the least amount of games. How have they only played 9? That is incredible. But I think it'd be Youthy in this one.
I just can't see how you can have any rhythm if you haven't played for that long.
No.
But you can't have it, you know, it's like, just...
Match fitness is different to fitness kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
I think Youthy would probably just scrape it.
And it's struggled to keep motivated. Like, imagine going to every day going to training and you're not playing on a Saturday. Yeah, it's like, you won't go back, will you? Well, it depends what character is and what stuff you've got, but, yeah, it's difficult. I think it'd be just Rykob, yeah.
I'm going for a draw. Yeah, sitting on the fence, the Andy Dalrymple Memorial fence.
Are you back in your northern neighbours?
Oh, yeah. Tony Port, screamer.
There you go.
Got it on video last week, didn't he?
You know how like, the players and Ramsey go between each other, the clubs. Do people still like the Rykob still
get something else? But
do Rykob still get like? Do people still go Rykob and then? Or is it mainly?
Eased off a bit now but
because of Ramsey and Ayres like dominance almost.
Yeah, everyone's sort of kind of stuck in their ways kind of thing now. But Youthy's like junior setup's really really good. They've sort of had lads coming through like. Put the time into it and stuff like that, but now they've obviously gone down. They've sort of he's going to be the one struggling compared to the other two anyway. Yeah, definitely. Right now, but yeah.
Used to be, wasn't it like a sweepstake where Jason Crane was going to go next?
I can't talk either, so.
Have you played at Youthy or just Ramsey? And
I did my first year in goals at Youthy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to play because I didn't have a keeper. Whereas there, I had a keeper, so that was my first one and only season at Youthy. Mm. But.
Books it right up then. Pulley versus Castletown is the other game. Now it's hard to give Pulley massive chance here, really. Town are top of Division 2, flying in decent form. Sam Palmer will be glad to hear that we're talking them up for change.
Yeah.
Can you find any sort of scrap there?
No, it's harsh, but it's Castletown.
I'd love to see it. Just to accept Palmer.
Yeah, that's right. Good.
What I'll say is the pitches are very different. Like Castletown, like play on a bigger and better pitch, I'd say. So it's kind of.
Is that what we're trying to reward Paul Rose? We've got a worse pitch.
Smaller pitch.
Someone was telling me it worked today. They're trying to get the game at Castletown.
Oh, really? Right.
But I think Pulley are refusing to do that.
They want home.
I was going to say because it could make a difference in that sort of
thing. And you want the fans there, don't you, Spawn? Yeah.
Well, all the money coming in.
Yeah. Well, we've seen what's happened to the Corpy pitches last weekend, haven't
we? Well, yeah. We're going to get to that in a second because it's a bit sort of. Yeah. We've got some footage for that.
We'll see how that one pans out. But yeah, in terms of Pulley Castletown, though, I mean, yeah, I've got to go with a Castletown win.
I only see one winner, to be fair. Yep.
Yeah. Right, well, we'll try and. Yeah, move on. Ravens are away this week at Kendall Town, who are, I believe, seventh in the league, maybe. Might have got that wrong. But they've been in a bit of bad form. They've actually only picked up 4 points at the last six games, including a draw at the ball, actually, which was the one the other week where Dean Pennington scored.
Oh, the last...
The last-minute equaliser. Yeah. So, it'll be really tricky to tie that. Obviously, Dan Hatsley's in that squad. Tienan Garvey's back in it as well.
That's a big push.
Which is good to see.
Yeah.
And there was another name on it who I admittedly just jumped down my head there. Connor Birch is back in it, who we haven't seen since September.
Okay, good player.
So, really sort of interesting. And Ryan Burns as well.
Right, okay.
So, it's interesting squad that's gone away this time.
Just a word on the Bury game. I mean, it was for a large portion, it was quite a hard-fought game, wasn't it? It's just that the Ravens just weren't able to create many chances, were they?
That was the difference. I think, to be fair, I mean, you know, Ben gave away the penalty and the second goal was a bit sort of like, there was a few things there between him and the defence. But equally, I think he made a good number of saves as well.
Oh, he did. Right? Yeah,
he made some really good stops. And I think that probably stopped the score getting a little bit more than it could have been.
Yeah, once it became 1-0, it opened up a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, and I know people say that like the Ravens are, you know, they showed a good account for themselves. And they did a couple of sort of half-decent efforts from range. But I think Ben also made a good number of saves in that game.
Yeah.
I think it's just the class that you're dealing with. You know, they want to get out of this league, and they've seen how good you have to be.
Yeah,
you know, and that was the difference to me is that Bury just. I mean, they're basically borderline. Like their attitude is as a professional club.
Yeah.
Whether they are or not, and their comments on Twitter this week about the league,
the civil war, yeah,
coming here, and their Facebook comments are brilliant. It's like they'll put up something going. Happy birthday, like, you know, Graham. He's been with the club since we started. And everyone go, the club started in 1897. And then off it goes. And you know what? Fair enough, they're all passionate about it.
Yeah.
But they're all supporting one club. They haven't got over this merger thing yet. And they're just like, there's people that are going, I won't go and watch a team play Gig Lane because Bury died years ago. You know, going, get a grip.
Yeah.
Like,
weren't they frustrated at the FCL man putting the Bury AFC on the
right, so I was actually there when that happened. That was
on the live stream.
All I'm going to say is that was Sam Palmer.
Okay, right. Let's blame him.
It was not actually his fault.
No.
It was just what was in the system from when they used the live stream from last year. So, you know.
And is it since changed from last year?
Well, it's become Bury FC, but it's just still in the system. It's got the old badge and stuff. Yeah. So that was unfortunate, but it happens.
Yeah. But, word on the crowd down the bowl, though.
2,460.
Yeah, fantastic.
It was great. Obviously, good to see. I know it's boosted the Ravens up a little bit on the overall season average. We've actually looked at it; they've got the second highest average in the league anyway.
Yeah,
only behind Bury.
That's a great effort. That is, it really is.
Yeah,
it's impressive when you see it on Twitter. Every year that has that the attendance every single week, and it's FC every single time.
That game had higher attendances than it was. Good number of National League games. Like you're getting up to like York City before you're seeing higher attendances, and you're like, you know, York's decent sized club. Yeah. And
also, like, obviously with Barry's travel problems, it caused a bit of a stir, but any publicity is good publicity. So the FC Alabama were on the map again last weekend with that. I mean,
yeah, that was everywhere. I mean, the video on the boat as well.
Oh, with the more singing on the way over.
The more singing, yeah, on the way over. And it was, that got picked up by like away days and then started getting shared around the different groups and all this. And that's something ridiculous, like 2.5 million views
it's
over
great.
The weekend.
It's just
like,
exposure, isn't it? It's,
if nothing else, it's the only footage we have of that boat actually working. So that was good to see.
Other than when Tom did the tour of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't working that day.
Yeah, it wasn't good anyway. Anyway.
So yeah, we'll look away to that. And of course, next week will be the visit of West Didsbury and Chilton, who we went up with from of that league, was it? We're in Northwest County.
First Division South?
Something.
Was it North? I can't remember. Anyway, where are they in the table at the moment?
Basically neck and neck with Ravens, so it's interesting to see, because last year they were quite a bit above us, but you can sort of see how the Ravens have grown quite a bit, because obviously like this time last season, we're sort of looking at that drop and going,
yeah,
this is a bit airy, and then they got themselves out of it, and then so we'll see where that goes really, I guess.
Excellent. And then you're off to a couple of FC Alabama games.
Yeah, well, I'm maybe going to Charnock Richard, who I've just seen their game again, is off tonight. There's sort of them and Earlham's constantly calling games off. I know there's been talks, not in this league, but in other leagues, trying to get the English FA to let them extend seasons already.
Oh, really?
Because that many games have got to be played.
I mean, well, they can throw Jim's in the mix there, then. They've got plenty of games left to play.
Jim's weirdly have ended up in Northwest County, don't they? Yeah. It's from the South League.
I don't hate that.
I'll just see if I can find it quickly for you. It was Earlham have played 30 games and Bury have played 30, Withenshaw played 37, but there was a one that was worse than that. That was Charnock Richard, which the game I might be going to, have played 26 games all season. The Ravens have played 33, and Withenshaw Town have played 37. So they've got 11 games in hand over the team in second place. And if they won all them, technically they could get into the playoffs. So it's just like, you know, how can you possibly run a league like that?
Well, as you said before, the clubs themselves building that momentum, you just can't do it, can you? It's just,
when you look at that, you know, the promotion year from the Ravens, that was the big thing, wasn't it? It was the home games after the home, because when that run started, they were like upper mid table, but the home games just built and it sort of got there. And I don't see how you can build anything when you're playing at that, and also the number of players they're changing all the time. It's just,
well, yeah, we talked about that before, didn't we? Mm-hmm. So,
but either way, I'm either going for an interesting night in to watch them play Charnock Richard or be in Chorley, yeah, which is where Lindsay Hoyle's from, the speaker, who may not be speaking by the time this goes out, for fans of politics everywhere.
Nobody
watches this. Nobody has any idea.
Manx football and politics doing your hand in hand.
Manx football and a row about the Gaza ceasefire in House of Commons yesterday probably don't
mix.
They mix for you, though.
They do.
They're two of your favourite hobbies.
They are. Yeah. That bargain hunt, that's all I'm interested in.
Of all the digressions we've done, I mean, that's pretty far-fetched.
I think war in Gaza is a hell of a stretch.
I mean,
but it actually linked to the Charnock Richard game, so there we go. With that, Dave, let's run down the clock and head into Comedy Corner.
Well, it's an extremely short Comedy Corner this week, as there was only one game completed in the Comedy Leagues last Saturday. The match between Laxey and Ayr at Glen Road did kick off, but it was abandoned after half an hour with the score at 1-0 because of the deteriorating conditions. The one full game that did go ahead was an absolute corker, though. The very definition of a Manx football scoreline, as Douglas Athletic beat Colby 13-7. Lee Ford and John McMullen both scored four times for Dafka, plus there was a hat-trick for Richard Foden and a Carl Wagstaff brace. Jack Fordham grabbed the hat-trick of his own for Colby, plus Harry Harrison scored twice, and there were single strikes for James Galloway and Wesley Gibson. But that's your lot this week.
That was a very short Comedy Corner, Dave, because there was only one game that actually finished.
Yes.
That game for us finished 13-7.
But we saw the state of the pitch.
Oh, God.
I mean,
put that up. What was that Sam Mendes film? Was it 1917?
1917.
Yeah, you could do the sequel down
in
there.
In the trenches. Yeah.
Are we including that?
I don't know if you... The pitch is not going to recover for a long time, is it?
It looked awful on the camera, just like. But then I love the fact that it was 13-7 on that. Like, I think that'd be more entertaining to watch than PLL.
I don't think you could get a rugby game to 13-7 on that pitch.
Oh, Jesus.
So it's quite impressive.
It makes me think, what's the biggest scoreline you've been involved in Do you reckon, like, is there a game that you've been like...
There was, I can't remember what it was, but it was like the most classic Mount football game you could imagine kind of thing. I think we played with like 9 men and it was 7-5 or something like that. Real good one.
Kind when of they come about, they are like, you go to the pub after, it is just like, you don't want to be on the receiving end of them though.
No.
If you lose, like, I feel bad for like 13 great Dafka. I feel bad for the Colby Combi boys. They've scored 7 goals and they've lost significantly as well. It's not like they've just got there. It's like you've been battered 13 to oh.
As they say, you don't score 7 goals and expect to lose, do you?
You certainly don't. Fair play though on that.
Who's
pitch.
Ever had to say that?
No, I don't think anyone.
I'm glad that somebody has.
Yeah.
Now, Dave, obviously that was caused by the weather last week. So now we're going to see what the weather's got in store for us this week.
Dave reads the weather.
Much better news on the weather front this week. Today, Friday, it's going to remain bright and sunny with only a small risk of a shower. Saturday, possible risk of frost early on, but during the day it'll stay mainly dry with sunny intervals with only a risk of isolated showers. So fingers crossed we get most games on this week.
Expertly done, Dave.
As always.
I don't know why you're not on like Northwest tonight or something.
Well, I don't know. It's all down to Tom's excellent camera work, I think.
They can't afford him. We got rid of the tables so we could afford Dave. Oh, no, we had the Manx Radio story, didn't we?
Yeah, I'm sure I stole it.
Yeah, that'll do.
Rob Pritchard stole our desks, and that's the story I'm sticking to.
Right.
He didn't, just in case they've got better lawyers than we have.
The lawyers that we famously have for Manx 40 Pod.
Yeah. Our lawyers is basically us just going... Legal talk. With that, Nick, cheers for coming in.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, hope we haven't scarred you for life.
We actually have a rare treat for you in that you can see the graphic that we've got for this episode for you, and you just won't get to see us until it goes out. It's
beautiful.
That well is done, that's what you've done for this whole afternoon.
Yeah.
You wonder why Jeff's
worth
not
every minute.
I spent a worrying amount of time on that. I was actually spent more time because I was trying to get goalkeeper gloves off instead of get to work.
No, it's very well done, Nick, Sam.
So that'll be out, this will be out whenever people are watching it. So thanks for coming in, Tom.
Yeah.
Stop playing squash. You know,
I'll be fine. I'll get over it. And I'm going to hopefully be down watching around this Saturday, which will be very nice.
And Dave, as ever.
But thanks for coming in, Nick. And good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
Yep. And ta-ta for now.